Well, good morning and welcome to Saturday in the Studio. I'm Tom King, and we are here with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. We are here to take your phone calls and your questions regarding your finances, your retirement, whatever the case may be. Give us a call this morning at 715-845-2155. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning, Tom, and good morning, everybody out there. It's an absolutely gorgeous day. Hey, you know what we have to do? And we know he's listening this morning. We have to wish a happy birthday out to Mr. Mark Hadley. Once again, he's 66 years old. And, folks, he's having a little bit of a soiree at noon at his place today. So he said to stop on by.
He did not.
He's going to have some finger sandwiches and a couple of beverages. So if you know where Mark Hadley lives,
you guys have
stop on by.
You guys have a running battle that you keep doing this. And
well, I age him at least two or three years per year.
He'll pay you back at some point.
He always seems to.
Yeah. All right. 715-845-2155. Give us a call here this morning if you have a financial question. The market seems to be doing well, and yet the naysayers are still out there saying this is a bubble. It's going to burst sometime soon.
They're out there, and there's an article that pops up. And in fact, now I have to type in codes and this whole bit. There's an article that's out there right now that starts talking about, you know, one chart that's going to change your whole way.
I saw that this morning. Yeah, the chart suggests that, you know, we've been in a bull market now, believe it or not, for over 5 years. And the suggestion is that 5 years is when the market correction will come. But this chart shows that in the past, some of these bull markets have lasted much longer than 5 years.
Sure, sure. You know, aside from any numbers, I want to put a little bit of thought to this. Now, this is Merle's thought, okay? I don't have a crystal ball. I don't project to have a crystal ball. I don't have a Swami hat. In fact, my hat has motorcycle stuff on it, but not that it necessarily matters. Nonetheless, if we take a look at this, if we take a look throughout the course of the 70s and the 80s, we had 155 months of a market upturn. Of course, it came down with the internet bubble, of course, irrational exuberance. You heard all about that, all that stuff that happened. I'm sorry. 1987 happened at that particular point in time. Market was down for about 3 months, got itself feet back under it again, went up again another 153 months. Then we had the irrational exuberance, the internet bubble. Also then sparked on by 9/11. Market comes back down again. And we started growing again. We started actually doing okay. I mean, the market was doing okay. The economy was doing okay. We're going along pretty good until an accounting change unraveled the number of things that were wrong. Let me make sure that there were a number of things that were wrong, but an accounting change unraveled those, dropped the market again into levels we haven't seen as far as a drop-off in the marketplace. In fact, in some 16 months, according to this Gray Research, is it Gray Research? Anyway, into the bar that we came here. I'm sorry, it came from Morningstar's where this chart came from. Down some 50.9% over a 16-month period of time. Of course, as we know, 2008, 2009 in that neighborhood. So we look at it, then we're now 61 months going forward. But let's kind of take a look at what happened. We went down worse than we've gone down in that recessionary period of time in a short period of time since the Great Depression, which, by the way, was down 83.4% over a 34-month period of time. And we look at this, and I've said it before, it's as though we had a growing economy that was doing okay. Not saying doing great or awesome, but doing okay. And because of an accounting rule, it disrupted what we were doing and basically pushed a stop and then a reset back on the economy. So if we think about this, our economy, when you're sitting at 50% down, you have to have a tremendous amount of growth just to get back to even of some sort. And I think that the 51 months that we have in there so far of economic growth, a large part of it is probably just bringing us back to some sort of even again, getting the economy so they can start clicking on all of its cylinders, which we may or may not be there yet. And so if we take a look at the forward numbers, the ISM numbers going ahead in the next 6 months, and they're expanding, we see some of that stuff happen. We see, obviously, the winter really did have an effect on consumer spending and that kind of thing. So that's now starting to pick up a little bit, obviously a little bit of jitters here and there. Inflation peaked up just a tad if we take energy out. Obviously, we stopped spending a bunch of money here in April because we didn't have to pay for the electric and heating bills, which we all know were astronomical over the course of the winter. So with this, again, I look at the economy, and I'm really not nervous with the marketplace being up as where it is, because I think we still have economic growth going forward inside of the economy, and therefore the market should continue to grow again. Will the market come down? Yep. When? Who knows? How much? I'm not sure about that either, but that's what the market does. Two steps forward, one step back.
The suggestion that one of the warning signs or one of the problems that the naysayers are looking at is that the Fed has slowed the buying of the bonds that they did during the recovery, and they expect at least this fall to slow even more, and maybe at some point it's going to have to stop, or it will stop, and that's going to have a negative effect on what's going on.
You know, again, a few weeks ago I was in D.C., and there was an economist that was showing what the market or the marketplace was doing comparative to the stimulus that was being done by the Federal Reserve. And it's interesting that you can see the marketplace forcing itself up or being forced up by the stimulation that's occurring. But if you take a look at the course of the last several months here, the tapering, of course, the reducing of the amount of bonds we've been buying on a monthly basis have been dropping down, but yet we still see the marketplace going up again. And one of the reasons I think for that is I think we've got a stronger set of feet or claws as a market into this economy than we might believe. So even though the tapering has been cutting back and significantly, nearly cut in half at this particular point in time from where it was, say, 6 months ago or a year ago, we still see the marketplace continue to keep going forward. The economy continue to keep going forward. And as a result of that, I think that though it's going to be an effect, I think that effect is being eased off quite a bit. And one of the things that Ben Bernanke wanted to do was to reduce the tapering and have it cause a minimal effect inside of the economy. And, of course, interest rates and the bonds and that whole bit. So far, I think it's working. I think it's doing okay. I don't know that it's necessarily perfect, but we continue to keep moving forward. We're not falling apart, et cetera, et cetera. But look around, folks. You know, I'm a firm believer that if you want to know what's going on, look around you. Are there people out there buying cars? Answer is yes. Are there people out there building homes? Yes. Are there people out there buying new homes? Absolutely. How's the real estate market doing? Talk to some people you know inside of real estate. How are they doing? They're saying the best year they've had in 3 or 4 years. And this is friends of mine who are in the real estate business in Tomahawk, small America. You talk to people on the coast. How are things going? They're doing fantastic. When you get that type of a sentiment in that sense, and as I said before, I have clients that dig holes and build windows. And I want to know what's going on inside of those. And they're all busy. And so this tells me that the economy is continuing to move forward. And the marketplace is going to do what the marketplace does. Two steps forward, one step back. I think we're going to be just fine on that.
All right, 715-845-2155 is the number to call. We're going to take a break. Phone lines are open. If you have a question from Earl, give us a call here this morning. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Years ago, the family doctor was a fixture in communities across the country. He'd come into your home and personally treat whoever needed help. He was part of the family. Well, that wonderful practice is all but faded into memory. But you know there is someone who keeps alive the tradition of personal health care in the community. Your local Health Mart pharmacist. While much of health care has become confusing and impersonal, you can drop by your neighborhood Health Mart pharmacy anytime, where your pharmacist will know you as a neighbor, not a number. So even if a doctor won't be stopping by your house today, you can still stop by your local Health Mart pharmacy, where the tradition of one-to-one care and concern remains strong. Health Mart, caring for you and about you. To find the Health Mart pharmacy nearest you, go to healthmart.com. That's healthmart.com.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year, 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
All of us want to make a difference. As veterans, we committed to protect our country. We served and sacrificed for the things that mattered most. Those experiences shaped our lives, Now we're husbands, wives, parents, and friends. And sometimes we forget that the biggest challenge can be asking for support. The Veterans Crisis Line is here for veterans. Dial 1-800-273-8255 and press 1. It matters.
As a flurry of graduations commence around the country, and these little know-it-alls venture out into the real world, they'll soon realize what you and I already know. The learning never stops.
That's the kind of thinking that you give out every day. I'm one of your best students.
You're invited to join us every day.
You're smart as hell, eh?
So we can learn from each other.
We have to pay attention to what's going on.
WSAU and WSAU.com.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau.
Hi, this is me. Is that you?
Yeah, you wanted to tell them the author of that article you were talking about?
I'm just giving you a hard time. Folks, I want to make sure I commented on the article we just talked about before. And, of course, now the article just stopped. But anyway, the one with the chart, saying the one chart that's going to save your life, or tell you that all world's all good, is by Victor Recolitis.
Easy for you to say. All right.
Close enough. Folks, we have a thing in here. It's called, and I thought it was an interesting article as I browsed through this morning, called 11 Money-Saving Habits that can Cost You Money. In fact, Things You Shouldn't Have by Natasha Burton. With this, we're going to go through and chat about this. And, of course, we're here, folks, to answer your questions, whatever it may be. The rest of the stuff we're talking about here is just banter, waiting for you to come in with your brilliantly worded calls and or birthday wishes to Mark Hadley, whichever the case may be. And so give us a call, 715-849-2155.
845-2155.
Oh, I think I gave you half of my office phone number, thing you're here, Tom. Uh-huh. Some of the things here that talks about inside of this article, and number one, kind of cracked me up when I first saw it, because my now friend and ex-wife had says to me, oh, look, I got this on sale. It was fantastic. Well, how much you save? I saved $70. How much did it cost? $100. Yeah, but you still spent $100, whatever it was. So with this is buying something just because it's on sale. Just because something is on sale and you find a coupon, for example, at Groupon or one of these types of places, doesn't mean you still have to buy it. Now, just because it's on sale doesn't mean you need it, of course. And that's one of the things we find ourselves doing, accumulating a lot of stuff. Folks, I can't say that I've not been guilty of this myself over the course of the years. I have a whole garage full of stuff that might have been on sale at one point in time. But it's one of the things we do. It tends to be a flow of cash going out all the time unless it's something we really need. There's always, of course, a difference of need and want. Need, of course, is something we need. Want is something we can probably rent at some particular point in time. It'll cost us a whole heck of a lot less as a result of doing so. The one that always seems to get me, and every time I go to a department store or something of this nature, and by the way, I forgot my belt today, so for those of you going to Shopko here right after the show, good luck, because I have to go over there and pick a few things up. Well, matter of fact, if you have some binder twine, I'll meet you over at the store a little bit later, maybe. Maybe that'll help out. Okay, here we go. Is opening a credit card at a discount store. It seems whenever we get those stores at whatever the place might be, then we tend to use them again. And unfortunately, we probably use them on things that were on sale, on things that we get a coupon from, Groupon or something of this nature. So hopefully do not have that credit card store. And in my opinion, I don't even like having a gas card because then I use it just because I want to use the gas card. So I'd rather pay cash and that way I know how much I have. Buying an extended warranty. You know, a lot of times, an extended warranty is really going to do you much to help you out. But there's one thing that I find in my personal life is that buying an extended warranty on certain things makes a lot of sense. You know, for example, you buy the really expensive TV and it has replaceable bulbs and the extended warranty says we'll cover the cost of the bulbs. That one's paid for itself 10 times over in a TV that I had. Also, I noticed that if you have teenagers and you buy them electronics, it works every time to buy an extended warranty. Or if you have things like lights that'll get run over and knocked over and they cover everything, beautiful idea. Other than that, extended warranties largely aren't worth the money, and that's the reason that they're offered is because they're worth more to the insurance company that's insuring them. Driving out of your way just to use a coupon. Boy, I literally know a good friend of mine every Friday takes mom out shopping, which I think a dutiful son should do. Tom, do you do that?
I do, as a matter of fact.
Okay, beautiful. And but they'll drive to Walgreens to save $2 on a $5 item, and then they'll drive across town to somewhere else to save another 50 cents, and then across town another time to go to one grocery store for five items, and then across town again to go to the other grocery store for five items just to come back home.
Well, and one that kills me is if you drive all the way across town to save a nickel a gallon on gas. That's the one that kills me.
I actually know somebody who drives 20 miles, it's like 30 cents. I mean, sometimes driving out of the way just to save a coupon doesn't make any sense. For one reason or another, the whole thought of cost of wear and tear and the actual cost of fuel in a minute doesn't make any sense. But in this instance, it was a day with mom, and that necessarily can't always be bad. Buying in bulk. This kind of goes back to my earlier statement in regards to my friend and ex-wife would buy a lot of stuff instead of bulk. And so, Tom, if you ever need some, like one of those little grippies for pencils, I've got 300 of them at my house, and nobody uses pencils anymore. So a lot of places you'll go to Costco or Sam's Club of this nature, you got to look for it because everything is there. And what I love about the stores, they have everything I need, and they want it, if I want a lot of it, they got it in big sizes. The unfortunate thing, the thing I don't like about them, is you go there for one thing, and it still costs you $100, and you walk out with six boxes of 300 of whatever you bought.
Right.
Of each thing. So buying in bulk. Of course, good thing and bad thing, you have to watch what it is. Is it something you're going to use or something you're just going to sit around and sit there for a long period of time? I'm putting money into a savings account. You know, this is kind of it runs into our world, the investment side of the plan. Inside of here, savings accounts work great for holding money, but today you're not going to make any money in them. And the reasoning for that is simply because there's no interest rate inside of them. We look at money market accounts and savings accounts are just not making anything. Now, I have to say, and I want to make sure I have it out there, savings accounts at the bank, excuse me, as well as a checking account, a money market account at the bank are all FDIC insured. You can't lose the principal and won't fluctuate. But the exchange for that is that there's no money to be made in that industry at this particular point in time. So there may be other alternatives. Of course, seek competent, qualified financial advice and advisors for that, and particularly some of those that are tall, dark, and handsome.
Savings account, checking account, even if it makes no money, gives you some sort of financial history as opposed to keeping the money in a coffee can buried in the backyard or in the mattress or things like that.
Absolutely,
right?
Does. It gives you some financial history, not only that, but it becomes a pretty good easy place if you ever want to buy something and use a credit card or have a mortgage or something. It becomes that buffer, of course, to suck the money out and pay the bills. So it actually works out pretty well for that sort of thing. Buying more stuff online to qualify for free shipping. You know, there might be an additional benefit to buying stuff online. I'm a firm believer of buying stuff online. One is I don't have to drive out to go get it. I can look online for the places that have the best price, and I can look around for that. Depending upon where you are, there may or may not be some sort of a benefit because where you're at may not charge a particular state sales tax. Of course, you need to include that for your Wisconsin sales tax. It's a question they answer, and, of course, everybody does that. Additionally, a lot of those places will offer free shipping. So now you don't have to pay for the gas. You still get the discount. They ship it to you. It may or may not be some sort of a tax benefit.
The trick, as you said, when you go out to the store itself, is to only buy the things you need or will use as opposed to buying stuff that you may need or use down the road if you're going to do that.
Yep, you got it. The next thing is buying the cheapest of everything. You know, buying the cheapest of everything may not be the best route. For example, if we just use something that everybody in the world uses, with an example is toilet paper, and somebody asks me the question and says, why do they advertise toilet paper? Is there somebody out here not actually using it? But then again, you could buy the really cheap stuff, which is paper thin. You have to use twice or three times as much just to make sure the paperwork is complete when you're done with the job.
You've got to pick the splinters out of your behind.
This is true. You get a little, chafe and a little raw and a little desitin, whatever it takes. But anyway, you got to get that stuff done. Sometimes you just have to get the stuff that's the better quality thing so it's not falling apart. Same thing happens if you take a look at, and part of the article here, if you're looking for a flat screen TV, a laptop as they go on inside of this article. You know, sometimes if you buy the cheapest of anything, you're going to have the most problems. Sometimes it's always better to take a step or two up and look at the grade or look at something like Consumer Reports and say which brand may be the better option for us we should take a look at. Overspending to get credit card rewards. In my entire career of credit cards, Tom, you know what reward I've ever got from a credit card?
Mm.
An electric chainsaw. It probably cost me $40,000 of transactions to get a $90 chainsaw.
Mm.
But sometimes people will just buy extra things as they think to get extra rewards. Again, it's just an inducement, in my opinion, an inducement to buy more stuff or to charge more things.
Yeah.
Probably that you didn't want to buy or didn't own on places you have coupons to drive too far across town for.
Yeah.
That type of thing. Next one, buying everything on Black Friday. Well, not only this is going to drive you absolutely batty and force you to have some psychological help, but Well, and many people who shop only on that day anyway probably need some psychological help, and I actually have several people in mind. I mean that in humor, and I love you all. But Black Friday, of course, they have some real good deals on stuff, but again, when they look at all the deals that they have, you know, they're looking at the sales, you're driving all across town, and probably exactly as we're talking about, they're hitting all the things. They have a coupon, and for the things that are probably the worst quality that are out there, for the cheapest thing across the board, you're shopping in one particular day, you're being impulsive, you're probably using the credit card, store card, and so they're getting you across the board on this sort of stuff. Remember, if you can't buy it at Cabela's, men, you probably don't need it. Just saying. Okay. Or Fleet Farm, either one.
All right. We need to take a break for some news here. We'll come back with more, though. The phone lines are open. If you have a question from Earl, give us a call here this morning. We'll be right back on WSAU.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
News now from AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
I'm Tom King, WSAU News. Golf superstar Phil Mickelson is at the center of an FBI investigation on insider trading. The Wall Street Journal reports the probe concerns finance, gambling, and sports. Billionaire investor Carl Icahn and Las Vegas sports bettor Billy Walters are also reportedly targets of that investigation. The parents of that special education student in Stevens Point have filed a federal complaint after the daughter received that graduation gift of cleaning supplies from her teacher. Meanwhile, the school district issued another statement yesterday defending life skills instructor Sue Felder. Officials said she would not be disciplined. Alyssa Alvarado was in a program that teaches independent living skills to youngsters with cognitive disabilities. For graduation, Felder gave the girl a package that included toilet bowl cleaner and a cleanser. Alyssa told her mother that the teacher said she'd be scrubbing toilets for a living. The Packers have signed their first-round draft choice, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. Media reports say the safety from Alabama was given a four-year deal worth $8.3 million. The Brewers beat the Cubs 11-5 last night. Ryan Braun hit his first Miller Park homer in over a year. The two teams play again this afternoon, and you can hear the game right here, pregame show at 2:35. The Woodchucks unveiled Athletic Park's new renovations last night, but lost the game to Wisconsin Rapids, 8-4. The Woodchucks will take on Madison tonight, and you can hear that game on our sister station, Fox Sports Radio, AM 1390 and FM 93.9, pregame show at 6:45. The weather forecast looks pretty nice for today. Sunshine again and warm with a high of 82. Tonight, partially cloudy and a low of 54. Sunday, more humid and a chance of showers or thunderstorms moving in. Some heavy rain is possible, a high around 80. For Monday, muggy, rain and storms likely, high 79. Tuesday, partly to mostly cloudy, a chance of showers or storms again, high 75. That's news and weather. I'm Tom King, Central Wisconsin's Fox News Station, WSAU.
Lisa, what did Coach say?
She said I had a concussion and can't play until my doctor clears me.
Come on, it's barely a ding. You're tough. We need you for the game.
Trust me, I want to keep pushing, but I also want to play solid. It's better to miss one game than the whole season, or maybe even sports for the rest of my life.
Wow, tough and smart.
All concussions are serious, so give your brain time to heal. Visit www.cdc.gov/concussion to learn why. A message from CDC.
The Jerry Bader Show.
Daniel Henninger's prediction that parents will stop wasting their money at four-year public institutions that are just dens of liberal indoctrination, will they actually stop spending their money there? I don't think so in the immediate future. Oh, you're telling people don't go to public college? I'm sending my daughter to one. That's what I'm saying. So indoctrinated, you would have to change high schools.
The Jerry Bader Show. Mornings at 9 on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau.
And the opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. This show contains forward-looking statements which may not come true. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through HBEC Incorporated. Member FINRA, SIPC, HBEC Incorporated, and Kelch & Associates are unaffiliated companies, and this program is intended for Wisconsin residents only.
All right, you heard the story on the news that we just had about Carl Icahn, Phil Mickelson, and the gambler out of Vegas. Apparently, Icahn allegedly giving Mickelson and this other guy tips on the businesses that he is investing in, and that is not allowed. I guess walk us through the situation. If you say, if you have friends that you hang out with, mm-hmm. and you are an investor in companies, what can you and can you not say to your friends about the investments you are making to be within the law of insider trading?
You can say anything that's public knowledge. You know, for example, if I bought and went through the proper channels and bought 5% of XYZ company, I own 5% of XYZ company. It was public knowledge. I bought it that morning. With myself and my investment colleagues, I bought that stuff. I could tell you tonight and say, Tom, today we just bought 5% of XYZ Holdings. We think it's going to be a fantastic reason. Here's the reason we bought this stock, blah, blah, blah. Well, if I bought 5%, I would have had to have registered that I was going to purchase it. It would have been public knowledge that it was purchased. Everybody in the investment world would have known that I purchased that stock at that point in time. Maybe a bunch of other people hadn't, but I'd be able to tell you that information. Now, if myself and my colleagues went through and negotiated a deal to buy 30% of the company as a publicly traded company for XYZ Holding, and we were going to close on a deal on Friday, and on Tuesday night we're at a cocktail soiree, and I'm telling you, hey, Tom, come here a second. I got to tell you this story. We're going to buy this stock, so buy a whole bunch today and tomorrow because we're going to buy a bunch
on
Friday. That's illegal.
I'm not even talking about being that blatant about it. Say they're sitting around a campfire in the backyard, and Icahn just says, you know, I really like Apple. I'm going to buy 40,000 shares of Apple this week. Not even telling them what to do. Is that that's illegal?
That probably is for him because he's such a public figure. Because when he buys a company, when he starts buying a company stock,
markets move.
He tends to start moving to marketplace. If you and I are sitting around and we start talking back and forth, and I said, geez, Tom, I'm going to probably buy 100 shares of ABC because I think it's a great stock and not ABC the company, ABC the made-up fictitious place. If I'm going to say I'm going to buy 100 shares, I really like that stock, you can say, well, why is that, Merle? I say, well, I'm looking at the earnings and that whole bit, and I'm telling you about all public information. So I'm telling you that I like their earnings. I like what they're doing for sales and that whole bit. Perfectly good. But if I say I'm going to buy that stock because I was talking to the president, he said they're coming out with this brand-new thing that nobody knows about yet, now it's illegal. Because it has to be information everybody knows at the same time, and that's the whole program with it. We had talked about it before. I mean, Carl Icahn for some time has been twittering what his positions are and so forth inside of his stocks. And though he's not doing anything legal, but by him twittering positions and things
that he's
saying.
Not doing anything illegal.
I'm sorry, he's not doing anything illegal. I apologize. But when he's twittering, he's affecting the price of the stock by twittering to the people who follow Carl Icahn.
It would be tweeting. You're not on Twitter. So
I'm not. Yet. I apologize. Tweeting, Twitter. Legal,
it's
illegal.
It's not twittering. It's
I
tweet.
Blur the
it's
lines
tweeting.
Everywhere.
But I understand your
it's
point.
Tweeting.
But it just seems like it should be illegal.
I like twittering better.
That he is able to, you know, tweet out his position in a company or how his position has changed in a company, knowing full well that by doing that, that's going to change and hopefully drive the price of his
But officially, you can't know because then that would be wrong. He's just giving information, and unfortunately, it just magically affects it. And so I think that's one of the things where there's got to be some clarity and some regulation because of social media, because it is changing things to a certain degree.
If this leads to charges against Carl Icahn, against Phil Mickelson, against the other guy, Do these people, will they do jail time, or is this, we're just talking big fines, if it's found to be true? I mean, Martha Stewart went to jail over insider trading.
Well, it depends upon the depths of the problem. Phil Mickelson, probably just fines. Carl Icahn, potentially. Remember, potentially jail. Remember, Martha Stewart went to jail because she had a securities license. Once you have a securities license, you're supposedly that you always know when you're doing something wrong. Because if she didn't have a securities license in the past, she probably would have gotten just some fine, no jail time.
Mm-hmm.
So Carl Icahn, of course, has a securities background.
That pesky fiduciary responsibility thing, you know?
It's terrible. I mean, I can't even go out and do insider trading like I used to. No, just a joke. I've never done insider trading. But it's just one of those things, once you're licensed, you have an issue. And so Carl Icahn, if there's something bad that happens, well, you know, he's in his 80s, so how are you going to have a long-term jail sentence of that if that's the case? But nonetheless, if he's done something bad, he, like everybody else who does insider trading, deserves jail time for it if that's what has been done.
You talked about social media here. We talked about Twitter a little bit. And, you know, earlier in the show we talked about the Internet bubble years and years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And back then it was a lot of companies, Internet companies, that sprang up, and the value, at least on paper, of the company skyrocketed, and then all of a sudden the bubble burst and these companies weren't worth anything. What's going to happen here with these social media companies? Because there are new ones coming out every day, new apps, new social media companies. They're going public.
Yeah, you come out with one, the next one's got to have a better idea, per se.
Is this going to weed itself out from the winners and losers, or are there enough people that are jumping into investing in social media companies with both feet that we have another potential bubble that's going to harm the market itself somewhere down the road?
You know, in my opinion, I think we have to look at a few things. You know, we go back to Prodigy, started out when after the thing. Many people forgot about that, but remember they had it so you could talk to people. They had a chat in Prodigy. And then Prodigy eventually gave way to Yahoo Messenger, back and forth of chatting. You know, that gave in, and of course everybody got into MySpace, and now Facebook that's out there. And I know a lot of the young kids aren't even going to Facebook so much anymore. They're doing more Snapchat and this type of thing. I kept seeing that all night last night, for example. So whether it comes out, but we have to look at it and say, is that social media site that we're going to, or we're looking at it, what, you know, is there value to it for us? You know, for example, I can say myself, my buddies, when we want to go ride motorcycles, we send a note out there into our, you know, little social site that we have of all of us we kind of subscribe to, and we put it in and say, hey, who's going to go riding today? And we put a note out there, and there might be 2 or 3 or 10 people say, me too, we'll meet up over here, and we all meet, and then we go out and take a nice ride together. So for us, it has that value to it. But the second part of it is to me as an investor, and Tom, you as an investor, say, do they make any money?
Yeah.
You know, Google, do they make money? Yeah, they sell advertising. They make a lot of money. Does Facebook make money? Yeah, they did. And Facebook, when they first came out, they were only on the laptops, very little on the phone at that point in time. And say, could they make money? And the answer is yes. So you had so many companies like Morgan Stanley and others had bought into a venture capital to keep them going until they came out and did their IPO and said, now can we get the money flowing? And they said, yep, we got to change to mobile. And in an instant, they switch it over so they're now making money on it because of cell phones. We're looking at the ads and selling the ads. And they're doing pretty well, and they're making some money. So we have to look at, for example, Twitter then and tweeting. Twitter and with
micro blogging.
There it is. With that sort of stuff, are they making any money? But the potential is pretty good, even though stock is down considerable, down about 17% this past month. But with that, it looks like they still have the ability to make some money. But are they going to make money like Facebook? Or some of these others, and the answer is probably not, because they just don't have as many people following, looking at the Twitter stuff.
How about the way that media is delivered and the changes we've seen in that? Netflix, of course, is the big winner in this, at least right now. I'm reading here now that their stock and its valuation is $30 billion higher than Sony's at this point in time. The idea that we are getting, and most people, especially younger people, are getting their media, getting their content in different ways than my generation did,
mm-hmm.
Is certainly a change that is so drastic that there are going to be companies that are going to replace the CBSs and the NBCs and the mm-hmm. and the you know, and Netflix is one of those. Is that something that's here to stay, or is that where people should look at as far as putting part of their investment portfolio at this point in time?
Absolutely, and smart money is already going there. You take a look at Netflix. Netflix up just dramatically over the course of the last couple of years. It was about 2 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago. I think probably more two-ish. The president of Netflix came up and says, we're making money, but we're going to lose money because we're going to take a bunch of our cash. We're going to go into this huge infrastructure thing, and as a result of that, we're not going to make any money for about a year. And they didn't, and their stock just plummeted way down to nothing. And I'm going from memory here, but I think it went down about six bucks a share at one particular point in time. And I don't even know what Netflix is, what it closed at as of yesterday, so we can take a look at that. But their infrastructure became out then so robust that they had the ability, Tom, that you could actually download and live stream their movies rather than having to do the DVDs, if you remember. You'd send the note, tell them what you want to do online, they'd send you the CDs. I don't even know if anybody actually does that anymore because now you simply can download it. And you have so many, for example, I bought a new TV and it has Netflix built into it. If I want to turn it on, well, you plug your TV into the wall now, into the Wi-Fi as well as the cable. And so I can actually download the tunes right there on the spot. And so we're going to see that sort of stuff coming. But Netflix, just huge in the media that they did in their infrastructure. But what's interesting is you look at it and you had, for one reason or another, people who were short-sighted started getting rid of the stock because they thought, well, this isn't going to be very good. It's going to be terrible. It's going to be awful. They're going to lose all this money. But they were so short-sighted, they didn't have long-term. And that long-term is that Netflix has really become a game-changer in that movie or content delivery business because now we have the ability to simply download it. Now, what is also interesting about this, though, is that Netflix has gotten so good at this that they're using so much of the bandwidth within a lot of cities and locales with people downloading their movies in their evenings and nighttime that there's a lot of bandwidth providers. I'm just using an example. Locally, we have Charter. There's a lot of places like Charter and like this have gone to Netflix and saying, hey, we keep building all this this internal stuff to run the internet, and there's no problem with it. But your company is charging now, ours using up half of our bandwidth. I'm using this as an example. We need a couple of bucks back for what you're doing here. We want a couple of money. So I think there's going to be some revenue sharing we see in some of those types of flicks.
Netflix closed yesterday at $417.25 a share.
Yeah, wouldn't it be nice a few years ago to when they were $6 or $8?
Well, and there are some analysts who are saying before this thing quits that Netflix could go up to $1,000 a share.
I don't doubt it by any means. I don't know about you, Tom, but I don't get the newspaper anymore, and I haven't for years. And I watch the news and read the news at least for an hour to hour and a half pretty much every morning. And in doing so, it's almost all online content. I have the sites that I like, that I know, that I trust. I do look at the Daily Herald site. I'll look at stuff that pops up on there for more of the local flavor. I have my cell phone as I drive around. It sends me alerts as far as information that's happening inside of the markets. MarketWatch.com, which is a website that I look at on a pretty regular basis. I have that, on my iPad. I have it on my laptop. I have it on my phone. I have it so that CNBC sends me alerts for stocks, and actually I have it not so much for stocks but for economic data and forecast stuff that pops out. And so the content, how I get my news is what's going on, is pretty direct and it's pretty constant, a lot different than looking at a newspaper. You read it in the morning, you're done with it, wait for the next one to come. But by the time you read the newspaper, that information is already old compared to what's happening from an electronic scale or electronic basis today. And I think we have to look at it because that's the reason that newspapers are going out, magazines are going out.
For all the good things about that, of course, the opposite end is the fact that we have become slaves to our electronic devices.
There's absolutely no doubt about it.
Yeah.
What I tend to try to do, folks, is if I get out of here for a weekend, I try to just put the phone down and I only look at it once in a while to see if there's anything major.
It's hard, isn't
it?
It's hard.
I'm finding it to be very loving. I'm really enjoying it.
All right, 715-845-2155. We'll take a break, come back with more. Phone lines are open. If you have a question for Earl, give us a call. We'll be right back on WSAU.
May is American Stroke Month. Stroke is the nation's fourth leading cause of death and a leading cause of adult disability. Yet with new therapies, many strokes can be effectively treated when detected early. Symptoms occur suddenly and may include numbness or weakness in the face, arm or leg, especially on one side of the body. Other warning signs include intense headache, dizziness, loss of balance or coordination, trouble speaking, and sudden vision changes in one or both eyes. Treatment is usually most effective within 3 hours of symptom onset. Medical imaging is often performed in the initial evaluation and the treatment of patients with stroke. Image-guided treatment can result in complete or near-complete recovery from the effects of stroke. Remember, stroke is treatable when recognized quickly. Know the symptoms and seek emergency medical help immediately when you see the signs. For information on stroke risks, symptoms, diagnosis, and treatment, visit radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder is from the Radiological Society of North America.
Wildfires burn millions of acres across the country each year. And each year, wildland firefighters battle to contain them. But they can't do it alone. For some communities, it's not a question of if wildfires strike, but when. And a single ember can travel more than 1 mile. As it twists and turns and floats through the air, that single ember can find its way to where you live and can ignite and destroy your home or your community. That single ember can be just as dangerous as the wildfire itself. You can't control where the ember will land, but you can control what happens when it does. You can take action now to prepare your home and your community for wildfire. Get fire adapted. Learn what you can do now to reduce wildfire damage later at fireadapted.org. Prepare, protect, prevail. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council. Learn more at fireadapted.org.
It's not a Republican thing.
If the Republicans want to fix the problem,
it's not a Democrat thing.
Once again, Senate Democrats are threatening to break the rules.
It is a you thing.
You know, the radio.
It's always good to know what's going on.
At the top and bottom of the hour, listen to our news updates.
Information.
The stories.
Current events.
That matter.
What's going on in the world.
To you.
Especially within your community.
On AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
And we're back here on WSAU. We're in the studio. We've got a few minutes left. If you want to get through to Merle and give us a call here this morning, feel free to do that. 715-845-2155. Anything else on your plate over there that you wanted to discuss today?
Well, we have like the top 10 list, but there's one article that popped in here. Though I didn't read it, it popped into my head. I thought it was relatively interesting. It says, college will be cheaper in 20 years than it is today.
Before you get to that, it looks like we have a phone call. So let's go to the phone. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Good morning. This is Pete from Austin.
Hey, Pete,
morning,
go ahead.
Pete.
Good. Hey, Merle, question for you. We own Apple stock. We heard that in July it's going to be doing a split. Is there anything we need to do to prepare for that, or paperwork, or is that automatic?
I think you should plan a party and invite Tom and I. and that's about all I got. No, when a stock splits, the stock's going to split, whichever direction it's going to go. You're not going to have any more value as a result of the split, in theory. I have to make sure we say that. Because generally what happens is the stock splits either up or down. For example, Citigroup actually just split reverse. They made their stock price go up rather than down. But Apple splits, it'll probably go the other way, so you'll end up with more shares. And in theory, the instant that it splits, your value will remain the same. You'll just have more shares at a lower price. Make sense?
Yes.
Now, what tends to happen is that when a stock splits, some people get a little bit of euphoria and think that's a good thing. They go in to buy some more shares and force the price up a little bit. But it has nothing to do with the valuation of the company, more for a little euphoria when the price
comes down. But they don't have to do anything about it. They'll just get paperwork in the mail saying
nope,
the split happened and here's what your shares are worth now.
And you might even get some new Beats headphones as a result of it. By the way, Beats headphones, what do you think about that for an idea, Pete? Beats headphones, Dr. Dre, and of course, was it the other gentleman, Levine, I think was the name was. I don't know if I have the name right.
Apple
just
bought Beats headphones for a huge amount of money.
Well, billions of dollars. And what's interesting, they did it because there's such a great markup in price. So the Beats headphones that the kids are running around buying for $400 and $450 bucks only cost $14 to make as they're going through. And so, Pete, you, Tom, and I need to develop some headphones.
Yeah, absolutely. All the kids have them, that's for sure.
I think I'm going to call them DEAF, like D-E-A. F,
all
just
right.
Because they're loud.
Thanks for the call, Pete. Appreciate
Thank
it. 715-845. I mean, owning Apple stock, even though, you know, Apple's been taking some hits recently, that they're not developing new stuff. Some of the other companies' phones are, you know, people like better than the iPhone. But, I mean, Apple's still a good stock to have as part of your portfolio right now.
Yeah, you look at the stock, they continue to keep making money. They're making record profits. They've got cash all over the place. It's one of those stocks you want to have. Sort of like Microsoft years ago. I mean, everybody had Microsoft when it ran up in price, and they said, well, the stock stinks. So, well, why does the stock stink? Because they make money, pay a dividend, and they have profit and no debt. Is that why it stinks? Well, they may not have the same acceleration of growth going on over the years, and at some $633 a share now, you know, will they still continue to grow? Sure. I mean, was it just this morning? I forgot who the analyst was, but just said they're expecting 720 a share out of Apple at this point. So if it gets there, fantastic, but it's one of those stocks that continue to keep making money. Their balance sheet is solid. People like their goods and services, and I don't see any reason that you would want to sell them by any means. But you might have, the new deaf headphones that may, and that's only because that's how they're going to make you.
You're going to trademark that?
I have no interest in doing so. But, you have that sort of thing, and now that may be the next thing growing. And by the way, just the thing online, just to switch gears here a little bit about things going forward. One of the things that you try to do, folks, is you try to look for things that are going to be game changers as far as the nation and the country that you look at. And it popped up on Facebook. I've actually looked at some of the information. There's a company that came out, and they make solar roadways. Have you seen that on Facebook?
Oh, I saw the moose crossing the road. I didn't read the article, though. Yeah,
I went through the article. I watched the videos, did some research on it, folks, and I think there's a game changer there. I think the company that's doing it, and it started out as a couple, they're doing it for all the right reasons, and I think they have a game-changing technology that could change the way a lot of things work inside of the country. Let's pop that one into our head and just simply say at this point in time, that solar roadways, and that's what they're calling it right now. It'll probably have another name at some point in time. But I think it's going to be a game changer, much as the iPhone was, the iPad was, laptops, Microsoft.
So you're suggesting get in on the ground floor here?
I just don't know how yet. But, yeah, if we can, I think it's going to be a tremendous company long term. That and from that, from what they're doing, and I don't mean to talk about them, but I will a little bit here, I think that technology is going to be a game changer. I don't think they're going to be the only player. Because once they get it done, other companies are going to say, well, can we do it faster, better, and cheaper? Mm-hmm. And essentially what it is rather than simply putting your driveway down or putting the road in your street down or doing Third Avenue in asphalt, they do it with these essentially solar pods that all interconnect together that are supposedly as hard as and wear better than the roads, except they collect solar charge. Additionally, they heat, so they can have a heating module so that it'll take off the ice and the snow. They have
don't
a module.
Have to use salt.
What's that?
Don't have to use salt.
Don't have to
the,
use the salt. Yeah. They have LEDs built into them, so they can put the road lines right in them. Wow. As well as they have a version of it that has pressure sensitive. So if 400 yards ahead you have a moose walking across the road, it'll tell you back here and tell you a sign. It'll pop up ahead of time saying animal crossing ahead, so you can slow down your vehicle. It also probably has the ability then to start working with
self-driving cars,
and it's solar. So yeah. It has a lot of power that pops in. So absolutely tremendous
sounds
idea.
Sounds expensive at this point in time.
Well, it is. They've been getting a lot of grant money for their research, but it looks like they've got it just about done. I think in the next several years we're going to see a lot of spinoffs from that, not only the industry to do that, but not only their company, but other companies spinning off that same type of idea.
We will watch that, but we are out of time for today. And if folks want to get a hold of you on Monday, how can they do
folks,
that?
Folks, you can get a hold of us here in lovely Wausau, 715-849-3600. Or stop and visit us for a cup of coffee on 3rd Avenue and Bridge Street. See if you can catch us, stop on in for a cup of coffee. Outside of the Wausau area at 866-355-5100. Or find us online at KelchandAssociates.com.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week. And we've got the news. The Polka Show is on the way. And then Brewer Baseball again this afternoon. The Brewers hammered the Cubs last night. They'll try again tonight, or this afternoon, actually. 2:35 pregame show for the Cubs and the Brewers today right here on WSAU.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
News, talk, sports. WSAU Wausau, WSAU FM, Rudolph, Stevens Point, Marshfield, Wisconsin Rapids.
Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony.
Climate change is no longer a distant threat.
So President Obama says Monday the EPA will unveil regulations on power plant emissions,
which will cut down on the carbon pollution, smog, and soot that threaten the health of the most vulnerable Americans, including children and the elderly.